This is for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And this is For The Players, the pop culture's PlayStation podcast. There are 40 years of playing PlayStation and 6 plus years in that games media combined. Thought we'd throw a hat into the ring and join that PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time on YouTube and 8 a.m. on iTunes and the other podcast services. If you'd like to be a part of that conversation, simply join us on Facebook, join us on Discord, comment below. If you're feeling generous, join us on Patreon at patreon.com/thepopculturist. Head over there, check out the tiers. There might be something there that interests you. Sorry if that was a bit fast. We've been talking a lot before the show.
And if you want to show your love for Popculturist on your body, head to thepopculturist.com/shop. Where you can buy shirts, mugs, cups, all the things with our logos on it. There are more designs coming later in the month, so keep an eye out there. And if you want to, you can head over to twitch.tv/popculturist. We're doing a lot more streams over there. We are now Twitch affiliated, so you can become a donator, subscriber, all the things that you have on Twitch.
Speaking of shirts, I forgot mine again.
Yeah, I noticed last week, got it too.
This week it's at the bottom of the laundry hamper.
Yeah.
That's where it was last week.
We'll have to get some new ones. I said, we're discussing before the show about one, and you were debating whether it would be dickish to wear a shirt with your own face on it.
I believe so. Until you hit a certain social status, it's pretty dicky. Because I'm not at that social status. I will never be at that social status because I do not wish to be at that social status.
See, I'm arrogant and narcissistic enough to be like, fuck it.
Fuck it.
Like, fuck it. What are you going to do?
It's hard to find shirts that fit me, so I'll make me fit me.
No, literally, the Pop T shirts are in fact the best shirts I've ever worn.
Now it just sounds like a merch plug.
That sounds like a merch plug, but like as a fat dude, it's very tough finding a shirt that's the right width and the length. A lot of people they'll make wider shirts but not longer shirts.
Yeah, I get that.
So these shirts are actually longer than normal shirts.
I find it difficult to get shirts for me. Because I got like...
We're on the tough end.
I got like weird proportions. Like I'm short. Well, I'm short, so I need a small. Yeah. Otherwise, the mediums are too long. But I got such a fat gut now that the small's like... You can see my belly button through my shirt. You can see my snail shells through my shirt. They're that tight. So I need a medium, but then they're too long. But then I got broad shoulders. So sometimes I get a small shirt, but they're like... It's like pulled in on my shoulders.
Yeah.
It's difficult, man.
See, for me, the length is always the problem. So, like, these are perfect because they're nice and long. Because one of my biggest fears of being a fat dude is the underguts.
Yeah.
I can't. If I feel a slight breeze on my stomach, I might change the shirts.
So, the thing with pants, though. Any pair of pants I buy, I need to factor in another $20 to get them taken up.
Yep.
So, they don't make pants for short dudes.
Yeah, whoever invented the idea of the waist-to-leg ratio is retarded.
Yeah. Like, because I need... Like, I've got like a size 32 to 34, depending on the pants, which I can get. But then, literally, like, you can't see my foot. They're that long. So I need to get someone, like a tailor, to take them up.
My mum used to do it,
but she's forgotten how because I haven't bought a new pair of pants for very long. Because for that exact reason, I bought a nice new pair of jeans about a month ago, and I haven't worn them once because they're too long. And I don't want to pay someone to do it. Anyway,
this is not. For the seamstress, this is for the players. What have you been playing this week, Josh?
Pretty much just Fortnite.
Yeah, I can see you've been jumping in there.
Yeah, I'm fucking good.
Tell us your story that you told me the other day.
Well, school holidays, kids get bored and all that. But, Alex is super hooked on Fortnite, much like many other kids, apparently. Parents, watch out. Fucking idiots. So, bring his TV out into the lounge room next to mine and we'll play Fortnite together. And we got a win. To get like in duos the other day and picked him up and jump around going, we did it, because it was my first win.
Yeah.
He's got 3 wins now because he got his first win on the iPad under my account and he really wanted that win on his account because it was a challenge. And so it was the limited mode, like every week there's a different limited mode. It was snipers only, snipers, crossbows, hunting rifles and all that. So we joined in, but there's no duos. You can either do solo or squads of 4. So we joined as a duo and ticking off Phil, so it was just me and him. Against squads of, 3 or 4 people or whatever. And we won. And, for me, because it was my first, quote, chicken dinner, yeah? You know that feeling? You're firing at the last guy and then you see, victory boom. Pop up. Yeah. And it's just like, is this fucking real? Because I choke hard. And when I get into the top 10, I'm like James Bond for the first 80% of the game, just like building and chuck a grenade over my shoulder. When it gets to top 10, I choke. I choke hard. And I just like run around out in the open, like, should I go there? Should I go there? I don't know. So yeah, to get the win was really, really cool.
Very cool.
It did push me to buy the battle pass as well.
You both have got the battle pass now.
Yeah. So the battle pass is like, it's got 100 tiers. And as you level up and do challenges, you get stars that like level you up the tiers. You unlock skins and all that kind of shit. So I'm already at like 60th tier out of 100. Cause that's all we've been playing. Played a bit more Pillars of Eternity.
Mm.
Not much more to talk about. It's still good.
Yeah, I'm very keen to jump in with you guys and play some Fortnite. Like I said, I'm going to ride those coattails. I want you to like take me to the upper echelon.
I can get you to the top 10 pretty easily.
Sweet.
Anything further than that?
Nah, 10's fine.
Alex does better than me. It's funny, just
we're both running off Alex.
I'll sit back and just watch him.
He's playing right now.
He's playing right now. Yeah. He's hoping to level you up a little bit. But yeah, just sitting back and watching him, I'm like, this is fucking ridiculous. Like
kid reaction speed.
Yeah, but it's quicker to change your gun to another gun than it is to reload your current gun if you're in a firefight.
Yeah.
So you'll like run up to someone and he's got like two shotguns. So he'll fire one and then switch to the other one and then switch like like switching between them and firing instead of needing to reload one. Just shit like that. I'm like, I just in the moment, like my reaction times aren't there
the
anymore.
The speed which people build shit baffles me.
Yeah. I like fire a bullet and then there's like Fort de France like in front of me in like half a second.
I was watching one the other day, the guy's like, and it's just going. And I'm like, how?
I think I'm a decent builder. I think I'm a better builder than I am like shooter. I think so. You know, it's Alex's job to kill people and my job to get us a nice little fort together.
Very
nice. Yeah. What about you? You played heaps.
I've just rotated around a couple little games this week. So played a bit of MLB The Show. Really digging it, which is a given because I'm MLB dude. But that's my latest Zen game.
Okay.
The end of the day, jump in, play a couple games, just kind of like you know, get your Big Daddy Betson up there. He went from the Triple A's. He is now the outfielder for the Twin City
Yankees.
No,
that's the only team I know.
No, like not the team I want to be. Obviously, I'd prefer the Detroit Tigers if I could. But yeah, I think I'm playing for Minnesota.
It's better than playing for Corio.
Yeah. Yeah. So like, I went from like the low ranks to like the The way you're scored as a batter is obviously how many times you get hits. So regardless, a hit is not hitting the ball. A hit is getting onto base.
Yeah.
So it's all done under like if you were 1.0, every time you get on bat, every time you get on the plate, you hit and you get a base. You get a base hit, right?
Right.
However, like obviously that's not possible. So if you're on 0.42, 42% of the time you get on base.
Right.
So in my team, in the minor leagues, everyone's sitting at like 0.1, 0.17, 0.2. I'm on like 0.6. Because it's a major league, so the minor leagues, so they're just kind of like throwing really easy ones. I'm like, boom, boom, boom. And then that's how I managed. So there's three divisions. There's like AAA, AA, and then the major leagues. I went from AAA to major leagues.
Skip AA altogether.
I'm good.
Nice.
Yeah, it's really good. The game's still fantastic. I've only had a couple of little frame drops and issues. Very stunning game though. So like, when you do get into the majors, because that's the big showcase of the game, the graphic fidelity of everything is bumped.
Okay.
Like the way they shoot the stadiums, the way they shoot the players, the player models themselves, because these are the stars, right?
Feels like you're watching a major league game.
You are watching a major league game.
Whereas watching minor league is just eight mums on their iPhones.
Yeah, it's like blocky, dude. Like, not blocky. It's like
I get you. Shitty camera work, shitty setting.
Yeah, like medium quality, dude. And blah, blah, blah. But then you go to the major, and it's like high quality graphics, like the sheen on the helmet and the face reconstructions is just beautiful. I'm playing Far Cry 5 as well. Still good, still crazy, still fun.
I've seen a few clips of this gun in Far Cry 5.
This alien gun?
Yeah, spoilers. Like bounces thing. Like you can like shoot I saw some guy like juggling a bear in the air with it. It's like, I think it's like a sound wave or like pong, pong. I'm like, I didn't expect to see that
at
all. And your encounter with a was it a bobcat last week with the civilian? I've seen that pop up a few times, but it was a bear. Like, yeah, so like, I was, thank you so much for saving me.
Bear just so takes like, him out. It was a woman being dragged by a dude across like this forest little, and there's like a wolf path. So I've come up. I think I mentioned this last week. I've come up. The guy's gone, and then rocketed into the sky for some reason. The game wigged out and he got launched into the air. And then he then detected me and went, and then fell. Died.
Uh-huh.
And the lady's like, thank you so much for bear.
That's awesome.
But that's happened a lot lately, actually. Like, I've now wandered into the area with all the turkeys. And these are like these turkeys are like...
They're zombie turkeys.
Terminator turkeys.
Yeah, okay.
As in like, you're running and they just don't stop.
They've been smoking that flower.
Yeah, they've been having that sweet bliss.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're pretty crazy. But like a lot of times, yeah, I just liberated this little outpost thing, like cool, and then I got bombarded by like bear. Like, it was like, just cleared one bear out, another bear rocks up.
I remember, I think, are they bison or buffaloes in the game?
I think that's bison.
I thought I'm gonna kill one of these guys. Mm-mm. They're fucking tough as shit. I shot one, and then like I guess in real life they're like, they protect each other. So next thing you know, there's four of them. I'm running through this bliss field and they like smash the fence with their head, like coming after me. Yeah, I died. I didn't expect it. It was awesome.
I finally done a co-op with community member Max, a good friend of mine. The game, it's literally the same game, just two people. Like, it's fully embraced that co-op. Like, you know how it's like, oh, here's a co-op mode. Like, no, it is the entire game just with somebody else. So you can both
go like... other end of the map if you want to.
I don't know, there is limits, as in you can't be too far away from them, like you have to be close.
are they liberal with that though?
Within reason. The only reason it crapped out is because we're walking down a hill and Max was like, "Sir," and jumped in a wingsuit and fucked off.
Okay.
And then he went too far away and died.
Would have been funny if we just put him back next to you, like, hey.
So that is a lot of fun. Like, I think the co-op is really sort of a good little bit of, like, I didn't find like the enemies were any harder or anything.
Just, you know, shits and gigs.
It's just shits and gigs.
Yeah,
I think it's a good way to play it.
Yeah,
it's a good tonal shift from what the game we think the game should be doing. And the other big one, which I started talking about 2 weeks ago with Paul, is Ark Park.
Ark Park. That's the VR dinosaurs, right?
Correct. So thank you very much to the PR team for Ark Park. When I first jumped into this, I was thinking to myself, like, this is fucking rad. Like, the game sets up really well. Mm. Like, you know, you go on this like monorail across this big open waterscape, and it's a big F off dinosaur in the water, and it jumps over, and they're like, you know, you sit and it's like, this is fucking impressive. And you look over and there's big mountains, and it's like, this is Jurassic Park.
But is it literally just walking around looking at dinosaurs, or is there a game?
I thought that was what it was. I'm like, that's kind of plot. So, but like, when then you get to the visitor center, and mind you, there's no direction, by the way. So you're like looking around, you're seeing all these sort of 3D, like, you know, holograms of the dinosaurs. Like, that's pretty cool. You get to feed it. So like, in terms of the, like, the VR is the best. The best thing about VR is scale. And what are dinosaurs? Fucking huge. So like, the scale of the dinosaurs is instantly impressive. And now the models themselves are kind of but it's still cool regardless of the size. Then once you get into the actual game, it's hot trash. It controls like garbage. Like, so you're using the move controllers, the button layouts are all dumb. So what would be intuitive isn't there.
Okay.
So an example is, with a move controller, have you got the touch, the thumb button and the four buttons around it.
Yeah.
You would think, right, that if you wanted to, like many other VR games, you'd have it located on one controller. You'd have the left one and you'd press the two little buttons and that would be your spin.
Yeah.
That makes sense. It's easy. It's given. It's kind of like you would, it's like you would a thumbstick, right?
Mm.
Nah. Instead, we're going to have it, the bottom right button on the left, bottom right on the right, and you turn in 30 second intervals, and there's no free motion. It's all degree. Teleportation.
You turn in what intervals?
In 30 degree intervals.
Oh. I thought you said something else.
Oh, I may have.
You said 30 second intervals.
Sorry, yeah. 30,
it takes 30 seconds to make
it. That would be a real problem. That feels really unintuitive. So you find yourself clicking the other buttons and opening menus instead of actually turning. And the teleportation isn't using the controls, it's using your head tracking. So you pretty much have to like look where you want to go, and then use the and then it doesn't just land you there. You can also choose which direction to move in, and that's done by turning the move control. It's just dumb. Okay. It's dumb.
Okay.
But there are some what appear to be really cool shit throughout it. Like you can find dinosaur eggs, and you can, you know, evolve, like grow a dinosaur. Like one of the first things I did was I get this really cool Triceratops. It's nice and little, and not much you can really do with it. Like later on, you can ride it and whatnot. And, but a lot of it is just sort of, it is the scavenging, so it does kind of bring some of the Ark Parkness, the Ark Survival Evolvedness to it. But in the same vein of the Ark, it's just janky. Like nothing seems to be really smooth.
Nothing works how you would assume it would.
Yeah,
work.
Nothing works how it should. And the game is just crippled by loading screens.
Oh no.
Like as in just from you to go from the tram on the way in to the visitor's entrance, loading screen. And then to get to your first little area, loading screen. And then you're in that these areas aren't that big, so they're not really that dense, right? Like there are, you know, you can play Skyrim in VR and it loads better. Mm. And less loading screens, less loading times. So you are essentially just moving from little like zones. There's no like free open. And even then, when you go and do shit, it's just uneventful. It's like, oh, you need to get fruit and herbs and shit to feed your dinosaurs. So then you have to walk up to like a bush and then then you press the button and the hand just strokes the bush and then berries and stuff fall out. Like granted, you have your pickaxe and whatnot, so you know, like ope to get wood, but you don't do it. You just hold it there and it goes. You press the button, it just does it for you.
Oh, that's a missed opportunity. Mm. I'm going to hack this tree down.
There feels like there's a lot of ideas in this. And they've tried to bring it all together, and it's just not working. Because there are boss fights, and there are like weird wave modes and stuff as well. And it's not well executed. Idea is great, hence why I reached out and was like, "Yeah, I'll give this a go." Because like, idea, dinosaurs,
VR
park, yeah, tick.
Park.
my park was like my brain's like Jurassic Park. Fuck yeah, this is going to be cool.
Right,
and. Outside of that initial, whoa, this is kind of cool, you instantly plummet off that edge like super fast.
Shame.
It's a real shame. Because I want it. But at the same point, what should I expect? Like, Wildcard, who do Ark, you know, like, these are the guys that released paid DLC for a game before it even went full release. These are the guys that have now, they've got a console versions that are poorly optimized. They're working on a mobile version now of a game where the base game has issues and glitches and problems from the alpha version
PUBG.
That are still yet to be fixed. PUBG at least fixes some of their issues and adds to it in nice ways. Mm. Where these guys are consistently reaching harder than they can. And I should have gone in with the same level of doubt for this, but I didn't. I was optimistic and I got burned.
Lesson learned.
Will I be playing it again? No. Do I recommend it? Not really. Speaking of getting burnt, we're going to head into the news. We tell you about the PlayStation news that happened this week.
Josh? 5 bits of news this week. It was uneventful but eventful at the same time. Not a lot happened, but what did is, you know, quite significant. Number one, after months of rumours and a week of teasers, Spyro the Dragon is officially back and is returning in time for the Purple Dragon's 20th anniversary. Activision announced the Spyro Reignited Trilogy, clever play on words there, developed by Skylanders devs Toys for Bob. The trilogy will include Spyro's 3 original PS1 outings, Spyro the Dragon, Spyro 2 Ripto's Rage, and Spyro Year of the Dragon, with new remastered graphics sound available on the PS4, PS4 Pro, Xbox One, Xbox One X on September 21st. You can also view a hidden trailer for the new Spyro trilogy in Crash Insane Trilogy. Simply go to the main menu for all three Crash games. Scroll over Crash Bandicoot 3 Warped. At this section, enter up, up, down, down, left, right, square, and the trailer will launch. I like that. That's cool.
Back in the day, you'd put that in, and that would give you a demo for Spyro.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, so that's cool. I like it. Even though you can, if you just want to see the trailer, you can just do it on YouTube. But something about manually entering cheat codes, you know, that's sweet nostalgia right there. I need to adjust this a little bit. As for Spyro himself. Okay, I mean, I was never the biggest fan. For me, it's going to be just like Crash, where I bought it, I fired it up, I played it for an hour and a half and went, fuck yeah, and then never touched it.
I can tell we're in the same space. We're both, like, I'm trying to articulate my words and you're trying to get, you know, it's just kind of like...
But you know, like, our buddy Joel loved Crash Insane, to the point that he platinumed it, which to me is just batshit crazy. But, you know, we're back in an age, in a way, of, you know, mascot platformers.
Yeah.
You know, we got Crash, we got Spyro. Now, many people are now, you know, we're getting Medieval. Many people are pushing for Sly Cooper. Again, I don't care about Sly Cooper. I did enjoy Spyro as a kid, but I do remember it being, like, super janky as well. I don't know if I'll get this. I would if Alex was maybe 3 years younger.
Yeah.
But I don't think he'd really get into it.
I'm unsure. I've never been a Spyro guy. Like, I have played the original, and yes, I'm the same. Yeah, I remember the controls handled like garbage. Mm. But the big thing now is we understand 3D space in games. You'd like to think that they can make this work.
Yeah, well, a lot of people had issues with Crash because they used, I think you said it actually, they used Crash 3's control scheme and outlaid that across all the games.
Yeah.
And that made 1 and 2 quite difficult to play in terms of, like, the depth perception and jumping is weird.
Off, yeah.
But give me Croc and I will jizz my pants.
There it is. Croc Legend of the Gobbers. And that is a game that does not hold up.
First PS1 game I ever played. And yeah, actually made me give the okay for my mum to date my stepdad.
Biggest thing about this is the tank controls on it.
That's fine. But yeah, now a lot of people stoked. That's cool. I mean, it's cool that we are getting these things, and it's cool that it's going to studios that wouldn't have been developing. Like, it's not taking away from anything,
because
the studios are there solely to do this.
And this toy, like, so one thing people are also mentioning, you know, it's a PlayStation Show or whatever, but... People are like, well, where's the Xbox version? Where's the Switch version?
Yeah.
Well, apparently Toys from Bob or whatever, the guy...
Toys for Bob.
They are doing the Crash port.
Yeah.
So, like, maybe their port team's just busy at the minute and it'll come in time.
It's the same as, like, the Insane Trilogy, even though Spyro is coming to Xbox as well at the same time. But... Or it'll just be a year and you'll get it.
I think it'll be less than a year, but I think it's just only because this team's busy.
Switch is getting enough. Chill out. So it's releasing at a weird time.
So it's releasing September 21. So going on from the next... we'll go into the next story, then we'll come back to talking about September.
September needs to chill the fuck out. Number two, I have one sentence. Insomniac Games Spider-Man will launch on September 7th, 2018. Two weeks before...
Yeah, after Spider-Man. Much... Just...
Nothing.
Nothing. Spider-Man, September 7. Now, I personally predicted it would be in June or maybe August. So I was wrong.
You're pushing your luck. You're good with God of War.
Yeah.
Detroit.
I was pretty spot on with it. Yeah. Because I thought that 3 months.
You thought you had it down. You're like, I've got this from now on. You don't.
This is their formula. This is what it is.
Yeah. But also in September, we'll talk about Spider-Man, but also in September is the new Tomb Raider game.
Yeah,
as well.
So we've got September 7, we've got Spider-Man. Yeah. September 14, we've got Shadow of the Tomb Raider. And then
the 21st
with Spyro. And there's another game in there as well, I believe.
Ain't no one want to be near Red Dead.
Yeah, so we're going to jam-pack the month before. There is no breathing room for anything that month.
So up until this point, really, I was touch and go with Spider-Man. I've never been a big Spider-Man fan. Mm. And I'm like, I'll get it because it looks like it'll be fun to play. But I have seen a few little GIFs and clips pop up. I'm like, this actually looks really good.
This looks really fucking good.
But
I'm unsure on it.
No, I'll definitely get it.
I will definitely play it, don't get me wrong, but I'm just like...
It's funny seeing, but also looking at... Because, you know, one clip I saw, he was swinging through the city, and, you know, it's very... Like, there's active... It's active. Like, the city's active. There's people, like, there's cars. It's funny because it's set in the same city as Division, and it's so cool seeing, like, side by side how different games can sculpt and give mood to a city.
Yeah.
Spider-Man's nice and bright and colourful and fun and busy, and the Division's just like... death and apocalypse. It's cool. I like to stay on lockout now if I can, because I'm unsure. I have just watched a few 10-second clips and GIFs and stuff. I'm like,
I pretty much watched the trailer. There's honestly not that much outside of the trailer and the other gameplays we've seen at E3 and whatnot.
They've confirmed no microtransactions, which is a given, but also you know, story DLC coming as well, which is cool.
Another cool thing, there are pre-order bonuses in terms of costumes. The big difference is those costumes are findable, locatable, earnable in-game.
Yeah.
However, You just unlock them later if you don't pre-order.
Yeah, just get them later, and that's cool. And I like that they're like, yes, no, there will be. I think they've already confirmed three story DLCs coming out. Based around Black Cat or something?
Black Cat.
I don't know a lot of the villains. I know the ones from the movies, you know, Doc Ock and Green Goblin and all that, but I don't know many more. Like this guy who's the villain in this. I don't know.
I know, because I was like, who the fuck's that dude? And I googled it.
Oh, Dylan would have been able to tell you.
Yeah. We'll have to bring Dylan in when we do Spider-Man's, be like, hey, Dylan.
Yeah.
Who the hell's this guy?
Like, I don't want to be a downer, but I'm not a big Spider-Man fan, but I am an Insomniac fan, so.
What interests me is the fluidity of what we're seeing. So, there's no, like, jankiness between, like, because in the actual clip itself, you see him swing around a corner, kind of overshoots it, and hits the wall, and then he keeps running.
Yeah.
There's no like collision, you drop and you're like,
But it's also when you're doing like web slinging, you're obviously like triggering to pull.
Yeah.
And instead of it like when you sling again, it like resets the animation to swing. Somehow it's all just worked in where every time you web sling, there's a natural movement to get to that instead of it like, you know, resetting animations and stuff. And
very clearly being two.
Yeah. Like, I mean, they would have put in more effort than that, but I'm surprised at how well. It's
like the PS1 where it's very much.
Yeah. I'm just surprised at how. Yeah, just web slinging around just looks like it's all smooth. And I showed a gif of it to my dad, and he's like, is that from the movie? Or I'm like, no, this is the game, Dad. And he's like, oh, fuck. I just see one where he was like web slinging around, and then there was like a construction pipe, and he's like, straight through it. I'm like, this looks really. Whether I like Spider-Man or not doesn't matter. The game just looks fun to play, and that's the main. And maybe it will make me a big Spider-Man fan.
Yeah, I've always been interested in Spider-Man, but I've never, like, obviously...
Tobey Maguire.
Batman's my shit.
Yeah.
So that's why, like, Arkham games...
I didn't mind... who did the second set of Spider-Man trilogy? Andrew
Garfield.
Yeah. I didn't mind them. I thought it was better than Tobey Maguire's that he killed Emma Stone, and that was really upsetting to me.
Yeah, but the best thing about that is because Emma Stone was actually his partner in real life.
So it's real chemistry.
Yeah, there's, like, real chemistry
Tobey Maguire and Kirsten Dunst.
Yeah.
Wasn't he like 30 at the time?
Yeah, very likely.
And what happened in Spider-Man 3? I haven't seen it yet. I've just seen like clips. I'm like, what is? He's like walking down the street like finger gunning girls, and I'm like, what is this? Essentially,
what happens is the Venom. Oh, sorry, it's not PlayStation.
That movie's coming too, isn't it?
Yeah,
Venom. It's rated R as well.
Tom Hardy coming out in October.
Oh, that sounds fucking brutal. Mm.
So like, there's the symbiote that becomes Venom. Essentially takes him and the suit.
Right.
In number 3. And that's why he's like, this is so polar opposite to who I am. Okay. It's real bad. Spider-Man 3 is bad. No, it's so
It could have worked, maybe, but not with Tobey Maguire.
Yeah, he doesn't quite have that quality.
No. But anyway, onto the game. Like I said, I may not be a Spider-Man fan, but I'm an Insomniac fan, and the game looks just super fun to play and enjoyable to play. And I think that's what's kind of missing from my lineup of stuff to play at the moment. Yeah. You know, it's not too dark, not too gritty, and it just looks, I don't know, how do I say it differently? It just looks like fun. Just pure,
bright, colorful,
old
fun.
School, just I'm having fun right now. Whereas Fortnite, I'm like, fuck you, cunt. And then I kill someone, I'm like, yeah, I'm the best.
See?
Yeah. Well, that's how I get.
That's true.
But not when I'm playing next to Alex. Like, after he's gone to bed, I'm like, that's when I can get all my anger out.
But yeah, if you're still around watching us in September, we'll no doubt be talking about it and playing it and stuff. So
for sure. Number 3, Far Cry 5 has hit a major sales milestone, becoming the fastest selling game in the franchise's history. As detailed by Ubisoft, the latest entry in the series has more than doubled Far Cry 4's first week sales, with digital distribution accounting for more than half of those
Makes
sales.
Sense.
Far Cry 5 is also now the second biggest launch ever for a Ubisoft title. It trails only behind Tom Clancy's The Division, with $310 million US in consumer spending over its first week. Interesting choice of words.
Because it's the game and any additional things. Yeah.
Additionally, players have streamed more than 55,000 hours of Far Cry 5 on Twitch, and YouTube videos featuring the game have garnered over 117 million views. Both are records for a Ubisoft game in the first week of launch. So, yeah. I haven't jumped back into it since last time we talked about it. But you just talked about it before anyway.
Yeah, so. I think it's great. It makes perfect sense why it's doing better than Far Cry 4.
America.
Far Cry 4 being... essentially, Far Cry 3.5. Like, this
is still, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It's the setting.
This really.
It's obviously the setting to me. The setting's
helping, and the biggest controversy coming out of this game right now is it was sort of somewhat marketed to be this big departure with a change in story and be darker and grittier, which it is, but when you actually get into the game itself, it's more of the same. And I think the people, the perception of the story, as in, so the perception of the villains and their story is what's bringing people in. It's what brought me in.
Well, you know, Far Cry 3 was about, if I remember right, like, you know, slave labor in the drug trade.
Yep.
Far Cry 4 was about
the drug trade.
Far Cry 5, the bliss. You know, this is a big drug.
Yeah, drug trade and America's cultism. Openness to cultism, apparently.
Yeah, no, I think the setting, you know, it helps a lot, I think. You know, it really does just look like what I'd picture rural America to look like.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people... Number four, several months after its release, Middle-Earth Shadow of War is permanently removing all microtransactions. I label them microtransgressions because they were. Posted on Warner Brothers Games' official website, the announcement stated that being able to buy orcs with real-world money undermines the experiences born from Shadow of War's Nemesis system. The change will go into effect on May 8th, when players will no longer be able to purchase gold with real-world money. Players will still be able to spend gold and receive it until the market is closed for good on July 19th. So, basically they've said, all the people that would have spent money have spent their money now, and now we're going to spin it into looking like a good,
yeah, okay,
a good gesture.
We've made enough coin, yeah. Whatever.
Took him, yeah, just long enough to spend their money on microtransactions and then decide that real-world money undermines the experiences. Yeah. Fuck off.
Yeah.
It's not a goodwill gesture. What EA have done with Battlefront 2, you know, making everything just play whatever fuck you want now.
Wait, the actual announcement stated that about it undermined.
Yeah.
Their exact statement.
The announcement stated that being able to buy orcs with real-world money undermines the experiences born from Shadow of War's Nemesis system.
You pieces of shit.
So, and this is right before, I think, one of the DLCs is out.
There's a huge
very
DLC
soon.
Coming in July.
Big
story DLC.
So, yeah. Just, I don't...
It's their attempt to build goodwill before the DLC.
Yeah, and it's
not. Nah, mate. What are you doing?
Eat a chode. They shouldn't have been there to start with.
That is garbage.
Top-selling games for week ending the 1st of April. Easter 2018, starting number 10, UFC 3, number 9, Crash Insane Trilogy, number 8, GTA 5, number 7, COD World War 2, number 6, FIFA 18, number 5, MXVATV All Out, number 4, Shadow of the Colossus, number 3, A Way Out, number 2, Ni No Kuni 2, Revenant Kingdom, and number 1, Far Cry 5, unsurprisingly.
So A Way Out is always almost unfindable in stores.
Oh, really? I didn't even know it had a physical release, to be honest.
Yeah, it's had a physical release, but apparently it's very limited in capacity, so as in... It's almost sold out everywhere at this point.
Surprising, really. I really didn't expect it to, you know, I didn't expect it.
It plays well. It's real good.
Maybe what happened at the Game Awards was like a clever publicity stunt. Yeah?
It worked.
Yeah. Fuck the Oscars. They're actually, the Oscars are pretty cool.
The Oscars are all right. Yeah. They're fine.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of what we call this. That's it for the news, Ryan. As we have a chat to the players about... This is your topic. I don't know what you wanted to call it.
I don't know what it's called. I just want more of a discussion. I guess it's kind of like Evolve or Die. It's probably the good way to look at it. I was sort of thinking
There's
about...
There's the video title.
There it is. I was thinking about God of War. Now, God of War is out...
13 days.
In 13 days, as of time of recording.
2 weeks from yesterday, of time of recording.
Yeah, so two weeks as of yesterday. So, I am pumped to no end... But it got me thinking.
Mm-hmm.
The way God of War is being done this time, it's bare bones God of War. As in that they broke... Corey Barlog said this himself. They broke the game down to its foundations, to its fundamentals. I'm like, what are things that we have to keep to make this a God of War game? And then we're going to...
And all that was there, circled in red text,
was Kratos. Yeah.
Though,
once again, we at this stage, we are yet to jump into the game. Hopefully, our coach probably arrived this week sometime. But, you know, like, so we haven't gone into the nitty and gritty yet. We don't know all the specific. We're going by what we're seeing in trailers and all that sort of stuff. So, what I want to talk about, Joshua, is Kratos and the God of War as a franchise were very much from a time and place where there was quite happy to have, like, a very minimal character development, a lot of meathead character who was just angry and just cause chaos and violence.
Mm.
So the discussion would be, do you think about heading to the game, do you think it was the right decision for them to completely change what God of War is? Do you think they did have to evolve or the franchise would have died?
For them, yes. For me, no.
Oh.
I think the change of perspective and, you know, how the game is very much ties into the story they wanted to tell. I don't think this particular story with Atreus and all that would have worked under the old God of War formula. Mm-hmm. Having said that, I would have loved to see a very modernized God of War game, the old school hack and slash insanity that the game was. I would have loved to see like what they could do with that now, but it's obviously not how they wanted to tell their story. And the only downside for me is that it, like, looking at a screenshot of the game, looks like 100 other games. Mm. It looks like as far as like the camera situated behind the camera, it looks like any Naughty Dog game, Horizon, like Mass Effect, all those games that are in third person where your character's, you know, slightly off to the side. It doesn't stand out. It stands out because it's Kratos there, yeah? And that's the only reason it stands out. Whereas you could have shown me a screenshot from the original God of War without Kratos, I'd be like, well, that's God of War. It's obviously God of War. I don't know what your kids
My
do.
Son's... He went from sucking to having a good old giggle. I don't know what's going on next door, but... Yeah.
But you know what I mean? I mean, like, if you picked up Kratos and took him out and then put Aloy there, nothing would look out of... You'd go, well, that's Horizon. You know, obviously, I'm, you know, hyperbolic a little bit here. But you kind of get my point, yeah? And, you know, there's no other AAA quality games that do what God of War used to do. And I think it would have stood out even more in today's day and age. But it's obviously not how they wanted to, how Santa Monica want to tell that story. And I fully believe the story they're telling wouldn't have worked, you know, in the old way with just angry Kratos smashing face and for Jay. But you know what I'm getting at.
And
I would have loved to see, like I said, old school God of War in like mod. Like we've had God of War, you know, remastered and all that, but you know, fully built for the, you know, to take advantage of today's power would have been really cool to see. And I'm kind of bummed we're not going to get that, but like I know I'm going to love it anyway.
Yeah, I'm not bummed. I'm more on the other side. I'm like, I'm really happy they've made these changes. Now, as someone that loves God of War, is, you know, there's three different variants of him on the shelf. I've got the collector's edition coming. You know, like, I am keen as... There's a poster in my... There's a framed poster in the other room. Like, I love God of War. And I like the games work. So, as I said, the hack and slash style of God of War has... Like, that was... Not a genre, but it was like a... You know, like Bayonetta. Like, Bayonetta, yeah, it brings in the God of War style fighting. And, you know, that was a term. People would compare it to the God of War style of game. And now, as you said,
Dark Souls of 15 years ago.
Yeah, and now every game's like a Dark Souls.
It's Souls
game.
Like
it's a Souls like game.
Eat a dick.
So I do think some of the what was God of War might be lost. In the same vein of one of the coolest things the game did was when it would be not close, but it'd be kind of close-ish camera, and then as you're running across a bridge, it would zoom out, and you would see the full scope of what you're doing.
And then you get back into the action and it pans back in.
Yeah, in the same way.
And then when you do an execution, it goes even closer.
Yeah, and like that adaptive... like, granted, you never really had true control of the camera, so they're always telling you where to look, which is good. And for that, for the way that game was set up, yeah, it makes perfect sense. But yeah, I do think from what we've seen, some of that charm, some of that the God of War-ness might be missing.
I believe that we are still going to get those camera zooms in as you're scaling this fucking giant with the...
But you're not controlling. It'll be...
Yeah. But I mean, like I said, when you used to do the quick time events in the old God of War, the camera would pan in as you're doing all this cool shit. We'll get that in this game, I guarantee it. We've already seen it, you know, fighting the giant troll, you know, with your little, you know, quick time events. Yeah. Quick time events are a God of War staple, I think, because they work for the... Like, that's what... That was a core part of it back then. And, you know, games have taken the piss out of him, you know, in this last generation. But I accept them wholly in God of War because quick time events let you also, look away a little bit and see the spectacle of what's happening without needing to be like, I need to move here and here. You know, you can go, I'm doing some fucking cool shit right now.
And Spider-Man, funny enough, is looking doing the same thing.
Yeah, and that's totally cool. And, you know, I'm super excited for the game and I know I'm going to fucking love it because I love, like, when I compared it to, like, you know, Horizon and Uncharted and The Last of Us in terms of, you know, how it's all set, I fucking love those games. So I know I'm going to love this anyway. Mm. But, yeah, like, yeah, the only, like you said, a little bit of what was God of War has been lost, but they're also, they're redefining what God of War is for the current.
Which generation. Is great for me because, you know, when I first started playing God of War on PS2, I'm a very different person now.
Mm.
You know, I'm a lot older. My life circumstances have changed, and I think that's one of the reasons why I'm probably going to like this game a lot more.
I was waiting for you to pull out a lot more mature so I could rebuke it.
No, I wouldn't make that statement at all. But I mean, like, and you're in the same vein. Like, we're both fathers to sons, and I think we're going to connect to this game in that different reason. Like,
oh yeah, it will totally be like, this game gets me on a more emotional level, but that's not to say I don't fucking love just hacking through thousands of enemies.
I'm just saying, what I loved about the old God of War was the spectacle
and the occasional pixel boobs.
Pixel boobs are good, yeah. But like it was the spectacle of just climbing big shit and like fucking shit up. And like, don't get me wrong, I still invested in that story. That story is still great, and like it's like there's some fucking just dark shit like.
Well, he's covered in the ash of his family.
Yeah, like the whiteness of his skin is the ashes of his mother and daughter that he was tricked into killing by Ares, the previous god of war. And there's, you know, in I think might be one of the, I can't remember which one, I think it might be Ascension or one of the PSP games, is like your brother. So the reason he has those red tattoos is because his brother had that as a birthmark, and his brother gets taken away by Ares. So, and having not seen him, he does that to. Ares has to go, and they're like, there is a Spartan fighter out there. You need to find him. Don't you take him out, because he's going to be a detriment to you. So, so yeah, they go and find, and they said that he'll have a unique mark, and they find his brother, and they take his brother, and Kratos then does, you know, gets the tattoo and goes in and fucks him up.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
And there is,
and then like, the whole idea is like that's whole, way more story than people.
Yeah, no, their games have a deeper story than they're giving credit for, because the gameplay itself doesn't play into that at all.
Exactly.
Which I think will be remedied with this, because it does look like it's going to be an emotional story.
Yeah.
And there will be tears at some point for whatever, even though at the moment I don't give a fuck about Atreus, but I'm sure over the course of the game he'll start to grow on you, and then protecting him, and then you get that fatherly bond to him.
Yeah, but no, even in the trailer though, it's just kind of like, when you see, it's been talked about 1,000 times by 1,000 different people, is, you know, when Atreus, and they take down the deer, and then he has to, you know, kill him. Obviously, they need the food. And there's that moment where, you know, Atreus is clearly, distraught's the wrong word, but he's clearly
conflicted
by it. Like, he feels sad that he's had to kill this. And, you know, and then Kratos goes to touch him and goes, no. Like, is like that, to me, I was like, oh, man. Because that's that weird line between, like, you want to be that fucking caring parent, you know, like,
you got to toughen him up a little.
Yeah, in this situation, tough love. Like, you got to be that tough guy. Like, I'm not that parent. I'm fucking all love. You know what I mean? Like, that's not me. But that's that conflict I'm probably going to have to think about when I get older, when James gets older.
Yeah.
You know, and like, already, like, to me, like I keep saying to me because it's very personal, but I'm looking forward to seeing that and seeing that growth. And like, granted, there was growth within Kratos, as in an example in God of War 3 when he finds Pandora and he sees his daughter in Pandora. So when there comes a moment where she has to sacrifice herself to be able to open the Pandora's box, he's conflicted. Like, the whole point of the game is to get her to that box. And the second he gets there, and he's just can't do it.
Yeah.
He can't lose another one. He can't lose her again. And like, you know, the same thing in the PSP games, you go into the afterworld and you meet your daughter again, and she comes and she hugs you and they have a conversation, and there's a quick time event where you smash in a circle where you physically have to push her off you because you have to leave.
Oof. Ouch. That's rough.
That's so rough.
Yeah.
That is so rough.
Yeah. That's cool.
I mean, and like, I'm like, so, like, I'm already invested in God of War. I just wanted to have the discussion to see whether, like, what Because I know that you're not into it as much as I am.
No, so. I enjoyed them. I never finished one.
Yeah.
Like any of them. But I did play... I played the main three, at least halfway through. Point where it got too hard and I'm like, I can't do this anymore. But yeah, like I love hack and slashes. You know, it's why I put so many hours into Diablo 3. You know, it's, you know, people class it as an action RPG, but it's quite hack and slashy as it is as well, especially in the higher levels. And I just love that gameplay loop of just
combos.
But you know, there will probably be something along those lines. The combat so far in the new God of War seems to be a bit more slower.
Yeah.
A bit more methodical. Instead of just like mashing your buttons to do all crazy shit.
Have you ever seen the video of the guy doing like Street Fighter moves in his garage?
No.
So there was a guy and he used to essentially, he would in real life show off Street Fighter moves. As in they'd be like, okay, Ryu does this, and this cool like kick, he would do it in his garage. As in showing off like these art, you know, the what it would look like in real life. Super cool videos. Santa Monica reached out to him and were like, hey, can you come audition to be like the Kratos fighter? Like, we want to see what you can do.
I don't understand what you mean.
So they reached out to him and said, hey, we like you've seen you do all the fight videos for like Street Fighter. This is what Kratos is going to do. And he's going to have an axe. He's going to have a shield. What can you do? So then he did a video for them in the garage. And they're like, yes, fine. This guy, I'm just saying, like, this guy is like, in the same way that he tackled the Street Fighter, was like, bring these into real life. He did the same thing. He's like, what would bring to real life of a guy with an axe and a big shield?
I'm looking forward to using a shield as a weapon. I love shields in games. I'm a big fan of, you know,
Flong.
Yeah, just shield bashing and, you know, Captain America-ing it and all that kind of stuff.
I'm keen to do the, like, the meow-nyan-yes.
The meow-nyan-yes.
You know, as in, like, shield bash someone, call it back, take another guy out. Oh, God, I'm fucking keen for this game. Yeah.
Yeah. It's very satisfying in the sound.
And then the brutality of, like, punching dudes, because he's like,
I've seen a gif where he's fisting a guy. It's not quite what he's doing. He's fist fighting something, and he's just got him like both the scruff of the neck, and he's just smack, and to the point where like the guy just starts crumpling down.
Which we've seen,
you know, and that's,
you know, like I think it's
that's
in
awesome.
It's at the end of God of War 3. Oh, you've never finished. But so you take on Zeus, and you can punch him until you choose not to.
Oh, really?
As in you punch him, blood splits out of his face, out, and then the screen will go red. Yeah. You can't see a thing. But as long as you keep pressing that
sound
button,
effect,
you'll keep punching, and that sound just gets messier and waterier and waterier, and it's just your punch is goo at the end, right? Yeah. It's awesome.
I think I'm gonna get my violence fix from the game, just in a different way. Whereas the violence is a bit more meaningful, you know, protecting Atreus or whatever the journey is.
Yeah.
There's a reason for that specific violence. Well, I guess there wasn't in the other games too. You know, but less less screen clutter. You don't have 1,000 enemies and you're like doing the Xena war cry. You know, it's 5 or 6 guys and, you know, you shield bash one, get that, like, you know, precision combat. Mm. Yeah. But it did have to evolve. Back to, like, the original question.
Oh, yeah.
It definitely did have to evolve for the modern times, and they have, and it looks like they've done a great job. I'm just saying I'm kind of lamenting the loss of what the older games could have been. Even though I wasn't that attached to them, it still would have been cool.
I think we are coming from, in terms of how the game runs has evolved. It went from gameplay pulling you forward to now it's the story pulling you forward.
Mm.
And I think that is just a shape of where games are at this point, where the games are at in 2018.
Especially Sony games.
Sony games are all very story heavy, which is great.
Yeah.
Big fan of that.
Yeah.
Now, this was going to be a conversation about modernizing of games and how they all kind of sort of mush together and be the same, but we just end up gushing about God of War for a while. So,
yeah, we've been on long enough, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's done. One thing I did want to mention, though, because, you know, as I said, with Spider-Man as well, Spider-Man coming in, it will, you know, they've had to modernize the game a little bit to sort of bring it into what a Spider-Man game would be now, seeing as for the last 10-ish years Spider-Man games have just been trash. So, and with Spyro, same thing, that needs to be brought into the modern world to be relevant, because that game is garbage in hindsight.
Oof. There's the dislikes.
Cool. I've been a fan. So I reached out to the community and I said to them, hey, What are you excited about? Spider-Man or Spyro? Let me know why. So good friend, Buddy Watson, jumps in and he says, Spider-Man, absolutely. I can't wait to play this. The combat looks like Arkham, which I think is a good evolution. Mm. And I love the rogues gallery of villains that could pop up. Second to Batman, I think Spider-Man has the largest rogues gallery, which is really cool.
Largest doesn't mean good, though. Batman has a lot of shitty villains.
He does. Think of the
calendar. I'm Calendar Man.
Yeah.
The Lego Batman movie actually did a good job taking the piss out of the fair. Because the Joker's like, they're all here. Blah, blah, Bane, blah, Calendar Man, Clock Man, Tin Condiment Man.
King.
Condiment King. That's right. They're all actually real. Yeah.
Spyro, he goes, I'll give this one a miss. I got burned by ukulele. And although it could bring back some nostalgia, my desire was that for these types of games is waning. Would have preferred Croc or a Resistance trilogy.
Good man, well done. Oh, Resistance would be good too. I never got around to playing it.
Yeah, I'm still yet to ever dive into...
That my dad did. He loved it. Dad also picked up Skyrim VR and he's put in like 15 hours already.
Yeah, that's good. Because it's on PC now.
Yeah.
And of course, Chris D. Conway actually jumped in with something relevant this week. Thanks, Chris. He goes, Spyro, because like the Crash Remastered, I can show my kids the games I played at their age without them saying, wow, Dad, this looks like blurry trash. And your childhood was lame.
Yeah, I get that sentiment a little bit, yeah. Mm. Yeah, here's what I used to play. It's two paddles and a pixel ball.
It's like when I posted a picture in the community, facebook.com/group/popcultures. Of this picture, it's like a quote from Deadpool when like he takes the mask off and he shows TJ Miller, he's like, oh motherfucker,
oh, you're hard to look at. Yeah, yeah, I saw that too.
And that's,
yeah,
that's exactly what it is. Like, yeah, all these times that I try to go back and play PS2 games, I'm like, oh, like, although I don't consider myself a graphic snob, I'm totally a graphic snob.
Yeah,
like, I try to say that I'm not, but fuck, I am.
You and community member Dave Chataway are right up there,
yeah,
with graphic snobs.
But anyways, yeah, Spider-Man and all them, they're coming out ages away. We're going to dive into what's coming out this week in a section we call Coming to the Players, where we pretty much just read you the drop from the PlayStation website.
Nothing pretty much about it. That is exactly what we do. It's thrilling content. New releases for the week of 9th of April 2017. Deep Ones, PS4, PS Vita, digital. Dusty Raging Fist, PS4, digital. Extinction, PS4, digital and retail. There's your article, God of War fix right there. Seems like, yeah.
Big-ass troll.
Big-ass trolls and ogres. Kind of has that Attack on Titan vibe to it. Looks all right. Maybe. Maybe.
Mm, yeah,
no. League of Evil. PS4, PS Vita, digital. Whoop, too far. Masters of Anima. PS4, digital. Operation.
Not Anima.
Anima.
Anima. A-N-I-M-A.
Just trying to think, you know. Anima. Could the doctor have a
Masters
title?
Masters of Anima, like the tool song?
No, it's Anima. Damn. Anima.
Fuck!
No, but I'm just thinking, can a doctor have a title? Like, he's the master enema? Like, he's the best at giving enemas to people?
You want the best enema, you go to John.
Operation Warcade, PSVR, digital. Owlboy, PS4, digital.
I hear a lot of good things about Owlboy.
Good and average for the Switch version, at least.
Oh.
I've seen a bit of hoo-ha about it. Hoot-hoot about it not playing properly.
Very nice.
Project Nimbus Code Mirai, PS4, digital. Regalia of Men and Monarchs, PS4, digital. Rick and Morty Virtual Regality, PSVR,
yeah, I was gonna
digital.
Reach out for that.
I've seen Alex watch that many people play this game.
You've seen it?
I've seen everything there is to
enjoy
do.
Enjoy it?
The first time, yeah. I've seen like Markiplier and Jacksepticeye and all the rest of them. Dan TDM, oh, fuck. Rogue Aces, PS4, PS Vita, digital. Starlit Adventures, PS4, digital. Super Amazeballs, PS4, PSVR, digital. Sorry, Super Daryl Deluxe, PS4, digital.
What is Super Daryl Deluxe?
He looks like a cactus man. Like, literally.
Can you read the description, please?
Super Daryl Deluxe is an RPG-vania with brawler-style combat set inside a perfect, normal, sprawling, multi-dimensional high school. So it's a surfer riding a shark, eating a cactus man.
With a spoiler in the background.
Time Carnage, PSVR.
Ooh,
digital. Bad. Time Carnage is a frantic VR survival shooter. Travel through time and wreak havoc through worlds swarming with dinosaurs, monsters, robots, and zombies.
And I've been burnt out by dinosaurs in VR, so maybe not.
That's it.
Yeah, outside of maybe Rick and Morty, kind of not much really in there.
I need to ask permission to do the ending spiel, because otherwise the timing's all off. You're like, no, wait, what about this?
Well, let's try some. Now, you wanted to add something to the end of For the Players.
Yeah.
I'm a little conflicted on it, but let's leave it up to you guys. Shut down that laptop. You don't need that open no more. Talk to that camera. Tell them what you want to do.
8 hours for this thing to boot up again now. So I wanted to add a segment to the end of the drop because I feel like the show ends pretty abruptly and on a boring note as well. Yeah. Like the drop's not fun. I'm debating whether we even do it anymore, to be honest. Like this, unless there's something interesting in there.
Well, it's
like the last 2 weeks, it's been like, why did we do that?
Yeah.
Other than the quick, you know, hoot-hoot joke and stuff like
that. Well, in the past, it's sort of used to like, hey, we hopefully be streaming that this week, whatever. It's kind of like...
Yeah, but we're in a lull at the moment.
We're in a lull, yeah.
So I wanted to do something where we, like Ryan and I and the community, can share something.
Mm.
Like, just share something. My idea, which Ryan was kind of against because other shows have done something similar previously, which yes. I get, yep. but other shows have been our show previously too. So...
That's what I'm saying. Like, the way... my biggest concern with how this show's run is, yeah... It's Bones is very clearly another show. If you've watched any other PlayStation show, you know where we got our inspiration from, where we continue to get inspiration from.
People come here for us.
Yes, and like, let's not do one thing that's very clearly they did. But anyway, I'll leave it open. I'm open to it. I'm open to it. I want to see what you guys have saying.
Well, my pitch was let's do something where we can share, like, we love video games, Ryan and I, but we also do love music very, very much.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just, like, I want to do a segment like, you know, Song of the Week, where we both, you know, bring a song for the week that we've been listening to or we think it's interesting or it's a different genre than people might listen to. Because I always find myself, I get stuck with music where it's like, I really want new stuff.
Oh, yeah, I'm totally
stuck. But I just fall down the same rabbit holes.
Yeah, I'm stuck in the early 2000s.
Yeah, and it does, it sucks because I want to hear new things as well, but I'm not good at finding music. So it'll be like, you know, my song of the week is blah, play maybe 5 seconds of it, just so you get a little teaser. It's like, yeah, that sounds like something I might like. You know, you do the same and then the community can give, you know, check this song out, check this song. It might be, you know, different, a genre you might not normally listen to, but it really epitomizes, you know, that genre. Whereas you're like, yeah, you know, other people, you know, other shows have done something similar with music before. You wanted to do games. Now, my argument against games is games are not free.
Music isn't really free either.
You can go to YouTube and check it out.
And Spotify.
At least you can hear it in its entirety before you decide if you want to purchase it or rip it from YouTube, as you know, some people it's totally free.
Yeah.
Whereas games you can't. I mean, you can watch gameplay and stuff, but you still, if you want to experience it, you have to sink $20 plus. And I don't honestly play enough games to bring a new game every week. Like, maybe you should play this.
This is where I was thinking. So rather it be based around about us. Well, we can be involved in it, of course.
Mm.
But what if it's all these guys? What if it rather than just being a dedicated song or a dedicated game thing, it just comes from a community recommendation? Whether it be a game, whether it be a book, whether it be something from the community that says, hey, I think this is cool, you should check this out.
Yeah, that could be cool too, but then there's no structure to it. It could be kind of messy as well. It
could be.
I don't know.
And then we go in there and we vet it and we find the cool shit.
Maybe. I don't know, just an idea. Whether we do think of it as a community sharing segment, yeah? Music, video games,
movies,
books, movies. Could be all of them, or it could just be one of them. Let us know. Because, I don't like ending the show on the drop.
It is very abrupt.
Because it's abrupt, and the drop is boring as fuck. And, I don't know. It should just be, like, let's leave people with something when we finish. Finish the show, and then someone might be like, that movie sounds cool. Well, that book sounds interesting.
Because I think it is important for us to talk about what's coming out that week. Because, you know, the whole thing's about games. Yeah. You know, PlayStation Focus and all that sort of garbage. But people, I do like that idea.
Yeah, but we also have other interests as well.
I don't as much, but Josh does.
Maybe you should.
Probably should.
You don't read, do you?
I used to.
Other than your phone screen.
Ooh.
I read a lot of it too. I read the Reddit.
Yeah, no, I don't read a whole lot.
You watch movies and stuff.
Yeah, I watch movies.
Yeah,
yeah.
You could pull something from TV the past. Series, you're like, I remember that being really good.
Yeah, just heads up. If you get recommendations from me, it'll either be a lot of like early 2000s, like nu metal.
Off of music. Yeah, I was gonna say like, movies. There'll be like Kevin
movies,
Smith movies.
There'll be a lot. Obviously there'll be some big givens at the start, but expect like early 2000s new metal and sort of emo scene, and then probably like some, you know, hardcore and metalcore and stuff in there,
and then jump into the 80s,
90s and 2000s, early 2000s pop.
That's
my music expertise.
Let us know, or maybe go, you know, the show's long enough as it is, just shut the fuck up.
We're almost in a year now.
Almost.
We are so close to doing this for 12 months.
Yeah.
But that's,
the show's changed a little bit.
A little bit, not much.
It took us 8 months to get a name for the main segment, which is literally just let's chat to the players. Like the most zero effort possible. Yeah. Anyway, that PlayStation conversation happened on a Monday morning at 9 a.m. Australian Standard Time on YouTube and 8 a.m. on iTunes and other podcast services. If you'd like to join in future conversations, head over to Facebook, Discord, comment below, or Patreon, patreon.com/popculturist. Head over there, check out the tiers. There might be something there that interests you.
And if you want to show your love of Pop Culturist on your body, head to popculturist.com/shop, where you can buy shirts and mugs and books and everything. And there are new designs coming at the end of the month. And big thanks to James over at Pixel Beast. He's making new ones as just all the time. He's just sending me new ones. And like, it's all weird comments and shit that we've made in streams. I don't know what I'm saying. But like, it's funny. So I'm down with it. And of course, we are now Twitch affiliated. So head over to twitch.tv/popculturist. Give us a follow. Maybe become a donator. Maybe become a subscriber over there as well. We're doing a lot more streaming these days. I'm trying to anyway. Should get you hooked up there. Get some streams going on from your house. Maybe you and Alex could stream your Fortnite wins. All right, until the next one, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And that was For the Players.